Ellie was missing, and he got up, washing himself quickly in the bowl of cold water, using a rough blue towel to dry his face and body. Outside the window, he could see that the gray skies had vanished, and it looked blue from north to south. And it didn't seem to be so cold. The door opened, and Doc swung around, seeing Ryan Carter grinning at him.
"What's so damned funny that you have to stand there like a Barbary ape, Carter?"
"I was smiling at the smile on your face, Doc, that's all."
"What do you want?"
"I thought you might like to know. Rosie just gave us the word that Seidler's feeling better. Much improved, matter of fact. You go on tonight."
Capistrano called a last rehearsal for the middle of the afternoon, insisting that they needed to check out the technical aspects of the night's performance, particularly the use of the rear exit for the melodramatic climax of the plot. JB stayed behind in the boarding house, while Ryan sat out front and watched the final run-through of the play. The weather outside was idyllic. There had been a heaven of a sunrise, and a golden sun soared across the snow-crusted Rockies. The temperature had risen several degrees above freezing, and water was running and gurgling in the gutters of the houses, melting in the streets and alleys. Several of the sec men had come into the multiplex, lounging near the back, their slush-stained boots resting on seats. Three of the five killers also appeared during the rehearsals. 20 Gooseneck, his veiled eyes seeming to see nothing and everything. Julio, flashily dressed, toying with his Texas Longhorn Border special revolver. The lights from the stage danced off the pale blue silk of his tight-fitting shirt. And Rena Miller, her black leather jacket unbuttoned, showing the Colt Cobra 38 in its shoulder holster. She sat near the front, two rows behind Ryan, watching in silence. Ryan turned around, deliberately staring at her, not wanting the woman to psych him out by her presence. Her gold and silver eyes looked back at him, betraying no emotion.
"Want to sit here?"
"Sure, like I want to suck a dead cougar's dick, won't I?"
"Fuck you too, lady."
Capistrano held up a hand.
"And this is where we shall invite five members of the audience to come on stage to represent the evil band. They will be taken out the back, through the passage to the rear door. Ryan, perhaps you and JB might help to conduct them." "Good. Then they can come around the front to relish the final curtain and join in the turbulent waves of applause that will fill the auditorium."
The rehearsal had gone well. Ryan had both seen and heard all of the play several times since their arrival in Yuma, but to see it actually working, with everyone in costume, made a difference that came close to being magical. Before the performance, they all went back to the Snow Palace, and there, over a reasonable fish stew, Ryan gathered everyone around and told them in a low voice about his plan.
"I figure that Jennison and the others are going to stick together. Probably come when Seidler comes to see the play."
"But we don't know when that'll be."
"True."
"Don't even know if he's coming at all."
"Wrong. He'll be there. I've met him. The Baron lives for this stuff. Regardless, we know that the chances of lifting Wizard Seidler himself are remote. But it should be just that little bit easier to get the boys' killers."
"And that is all you need to rescue your own son and friends from the embrace of the Baron Nelson of Vista? But how will you capture them from the heart of this pest hole without all of us becoming buzzard feed?"
"I know. Forgive me. I'll be quiet and very discreet. But I have just seen what you intend, Ryan."
"What?"
"The end of the play. Bring Jennison up and the others."
"Yeah, if they'll come. That's your bit, Ellie."
"Oh, I can charm birds from trees and butterflies from the nectared heart of a cowslip."
Doc smiled at Ellie, his head to one side.
"I can vouch for that, my dear Ryan. Indeed I can. The lady has charms to soothe even the most savage of breasts."
"Oh, it will be quite dangerous, won't it, Ryan?"
"Sure. But we'll do everything we can to make sure we all get through."
"Who will subdue these sons of bitches?"
"JB gets the rig and steals another horse. Waits in the alley once we know that Seidler and the others are there. With our mounts as well. I'm close by. Club them down."
"How do we all get out? We'll still be on stage."
"Take the curtain call. Nobody will suspect anything's wrong. They'll think it's part of the show. Then you all come out the same way to the alley, and we head south as fast as we can. Chances are most of the audience is going to head for the nearest bar or gaudy and start drinking right off."
"We could arrange that they are taken through one at a time."
"How?"
"Say there is a frail bridge to the hiding place that will only carry the weight of two people at a time. That will mean Ryan and John can capture them more easily."
"Yeah. Might work if that could be done.
Capistrano considered the question for several seconds.
Why not? Yes, why not try that?
Knuckles had been helping himself to a third portion of the fish stew, though by now it had congealed into a wizened crust around the edges, with a film of rainbow grease floating at its center.
How do we know if Seidler comes tonight?
I'll go and see what I can find out. The Owen woman says that there's a big buzz around the ville about the play.
Hope they don't start shooting. Hate it when they start opening up with blasters. Place fills with smoke and you can't see halfway across the stage.
It was still mild as Ryan hurried back from the multiplex toward the Snow Palace, with the first stars appearing against the darkening evening sky. He raced through the deserted lobby, up the creaking stairs, and into the main bedroom.
It's on. Sekhman outside. Reckon Seidler's coming tonight.
The play went well. Everybody turned up, more or less on time, cast and audience. Nobody forgot their lines. Nobody bumped into the furniture. The multiplex was crowded with men and women, and even a handful of children. They laughed and cheered in all of the right places, and stood and stamped their approval at the play's climax. 20 Gooseneck wasn't there. Rena Miller wasn't there. Aussie Grant and Julio weren't there. Nor was Jim Jennison. Baron Wizard Seidler sent word that he still wasn't feeling too well. He was sorry, but he wouldn't be coming to the performance. It was a complete waste.
Maybe tomorrow night.
JB pulled off his combat boots and swung his feet onto his bed.
That'll be the night of the eighth day.
The two old friends were alone in their room. The others were all with Capistrano in his room along the corridor, enjoying their success over a bottle of tart fizzy wine that Ellie had bought from Rosie Owen.
Have to be tomorrow. No choice, Ryan, is there? Tomorrow.
The Dowager Baroness of Vistaville sat in a deep, winged armchair, the brocade torn across the back, holding a small chromed pistol in her bird-like hand. Her long white hair poured over her shoulders like a frozen fall of fresh snow. Her eyes were wide, the pale blue swamped by the drugged circles of her pupils.
Just do it easy, bitch.
Christy waited behind a diamond-shaped table, its top inlaid with a variety of wooden veneers. An unusual vase of yellow and cream glass stood at the center, holding some dried rushes. Mildred was close to the door, one hand resting on Dean's shoulder. They'd been brought to the old woman's chambers by Rick Coburn. It was late evening, on the seventh day since Ryan, J.B., Doc, and Michael had left the ville for the trail north. The sec boss had been uneasy, unwilling to talk as he led them through the paneled corridors of the fortress.
Why does she want to see us? Why not the Baron?
Can't say.
You mean you won't say? That makes it into bad news.
I'm not sure, but I said I wouldn't lie to you, and I won't. Better Ryan gets back here with prisoners.
Or what?
Old lady was broken up by Zeeb's murder and by Claire dying the way she did. I don't really know the rights or the wrongs of it, but she pressed the Baron harder and harder.
That still doesn't answer why she'd want to see us all now.
Been drinking, doing some serious downers. I think it's mainly you, Christy. Mainly you she wants.
The old woman was wearing what looked like the shredded remnants of an antique wedding dress. Cream silk, faded past ivory toward yellow. The lace so fragile that it resembled the bundled webs of 100 spiders.
You don't do it easy, then you'll end doing it fucking hard.
Is that all you wanted to say?
Show some respect, you flamehead slag!
Baron said he wanted me to be his son.
Sure, sonny. You'll keep Alfred happy until something better comes along. That something being his own flesh from the dry slits of these whores.
Prince among men, your son, lady. Christy, why don't we just leave her to her sick fancies?
You don't understand, do you?
There's nothing to understand. Gaia, you don't see that the way out of this tragedy is to look forward. Let your son find another woman he can love. Love, not fuck. Then he can have another child and struggle back to something like normal. But not this way.
It was as though Christy hadn't spoken a single word. The wind had veered, and occasional wraiths of smoke came floating out into the room. The thick walls of the old hotel kept any other sounds far at bay.
Ah, chains, redhead. Chains for the black bitch and for the brat child if he rebels against his new father. We can have sick men break your knees and elbows and wrists and fingers and toes and shoulders and jaw. None of those.